I invite you to turn to Psalm 119. We've studied through Psalm 119. Many of you may remember that. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. It is made up of stanzas beginning with the Hebrew alphabet. And remember, in our study, we recognize that just about every verse, or just a few verses in this psalm, that do not speak of God's word in some way, shape, or form. There's a lot of different terminology for God's word, but it is very frequent in this chapter. But I want us to just look at just a few verses tonight. And what is my goal tonight? Well, first, I want us to recognize that I've just finished up one series, and I'm prayerfully considering what's next. So if you've been with us in study, you know that this is a transitional time for me, and often I will share several sermons in between before I get my foot settled on something else. Okay, I thought it would be very helpful tonight for us to just reestablish as a church our footing upon the Word of God, and how important that is to our faith, and that we recognize how important it is to the proclamation of the gospel, and how important it is, the role that God's Word plays in others coming to faith in Christ. I realized as I was declaring last night, and I believe I said something like, all of this that I'm saying comes from the Word of God. And so really the Word of God is so crucial, and yet you've got to come to believe it to be the Word of God for this power to have an effect in your life. And that belief and that faith, I believe, is of God. And that God brings that into a person's life that says, yes, this is the Word of God. Yes, I will trust and believe what it says in my life, or for my life. Well, listen to a couple verses from Psalm 119. Look at verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49 reads this way: "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, made me alive. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from your law." Notice there that the psalmist is recognizing that God has caused him to hope, which thou hast caused me to hope in what? God's word. So the psalmist is recognizing this is the foundation of my hope. Let's look at another in verse 74, same chapter. Starting verse 73. "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in the Lord." What a beautiful testimony your hope in the Lord is to those that are around you as they watch and see. They fear the Lord and they are encouraged and blessed by your hope in God's word. I mean, let's face it, we are able to sing, we are able to rejoice, we are able to testify because we believe God's word. We believe it. Our belief system is not something based on fluff or Hallmark cards or just good pithy statements. No, it's based on what we believe to be God's word. Verse 81. "My soul faints for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. The psalmist realizes that it is the word of God where there is relief and where there is true refreshment. And again, I trust that you are encouraged as you think of these things. 114, starting in verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You see there the recognition that God is the place where we can hide, and God is the one who is our protector, our shield. Where does the psalmist get that idea? Why does he say such things? He recognizes God's God. He recognizes God because he knows God's word. And we can be encouraged tonight because God has given to us his word, and we are able to rest in the fact that he's a shield to us. How often do we need that as we encounter challenges in our day and we are discouraged and we have fears? We can hope in God's word. 147, I'll begin at verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. We recognize here that the psalmist values God's word. He gets up early. And where does he run? He runs to the scriptures. He runs to the word. Now the Psalms, most of them written by David. We do not know the author of Psalm 119. But as we think about what was the word that they had, what was God's word? Well, we know that at least David and those surrounding him and those who partook in writing the Psalms would have had at least the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We also know that they would have had, if they would have had these, the records of history. And we know that these things would have been in their minds as they rehearse the history of their people. And we know these things are recorded in the books of history, in Joshua, and Judges, and Ruth. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. As we think about God's word in our lives today, it is valuable because it has an effect of, it produces within us a true hope. Something that I have enjoyed is understanding and seeing how Jesus valued the scriptures in his life, how Jesus used the scriptures often in his ministry. And even as I was studying for this, I'm contemplating doing a study on this. We know that Jesus shared about himself using the Old Testament. In fact, Luke chapter 24 has something striking, and we've talked about this before, but I have this inner hunger to do some digging, and perhaps you will get to be listen. You'll get to listen as I seek to understand exactly, or not exactly, but to the best of my ability, what Jesus said to these men on the road to Emmaus. Have you ever wondered that? You remember on the road to Emmaus, and there's these two guys walking along, and here comes a stranger. And they are talking about the events of the day. And of course, this is after Jesus has died. And he's recently arisen. And these two faithful followers, they didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend everything. It's almost as if they're going for a walk just to clear their minds, just to try to make sense of things. And you'll notice in verse 25 of Luke 24, we read, "Then he said unto them," and that's Jesus saying unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." I'm curious what that is. Aren't you? Wouldn't you have loved to hear that? How Jesus took the scriptures beginning at Moses and expounded unto them all that the scriptures have said concerning him, Jesus. There are a couple benefits to doing a study like this, it will be confirming the unity of the Bible in our hearts as we see the theme of God's plan of redemption throughout all of history. We'll also be better prepared to minister to our Jewish friends who honor only the Old Testament and disregard the New Testament, disregard Jesus, but yet it's their scriptures that Jesus uses to proclaim himself. And it would be helpful for us, and I would benefit greatly from that understanding as well. Same chapter, looking at verse 31. "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" You see, these people, these followers of Jesus, the scriptures were foundational to them. And this is true of the Jewish people of Jesus' day. The scriptures were foundational to them, but yet they had begun to be overwhelmed by the traditions of men, overcome by the traditions of men. And so the scriptures were diminished, and the commentaries of rabbis lifted high. But these men recognized how Jesus opened to them the scriptures. That was the authority that Jesus used. Verse 44 of the same chapter, Jesus here appearing again, and he says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." And this is what is so wonderful, understanding that God is the one who opens up the minds and the hearts of people. That's what he's done with you. I mean, we sit here in our churches and we enjoy the studies of the Word of God, but realize that this all began when God opened up our hearts and our minds. And you all work and have friends that their minds just don't get these things, right? They're blinded and they're confused and they think we are ridiculous and crazy for entrusting our entire lives on the Bible, God's Word. You have a blind faith. I said that last night. The person was there that claimed that they recognized that I was speaking about them. We're still friends. But yet, you know, this is what people will think. But yet if we understand that it's God that will open up them their minds. But notice that they might, he opens up their understanding that they might what? Understand what? The Scriptures. I was telling someone today, and a temptation for preachers. Well, a temptation for this preacher. I don't know that I've talked with other preachers about this, but a temptation of this preacher is to be clever in preaching. Is to put together an outline that people will remember. To put together such a sermon that will cause people to say, yes, we get it, we understand it. And it's not because, but it's because the my efforts. And it's so challenging because, yes, I want to communicate clearly as a preacher, but so often I approach the podium, I approach the pulpit, and I lack the clever outlines and the clever words. But passages such as this are a great encouragement to me and ought to be to you, is that it's the Lord that opens up our minds and He helps us to understand His Word. And I have seen that happen over and over again. In my own frailty, He shows His strength. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 16. As I was thinking about preaching tonight, my mind was running and many passages were flying through my head. So I have many passages written here. But the intent, I believe, of this time together is to just show the value of God's Word to our lives. Luke 16. In Luke 16, beginning in verse 19 and down to the end of the chapter, there is this account of the rich man and Lazarus. I think most of us in here are familiar with this account. This is told by the Lord Jesus. And the rich man, he dies and he goes to hell, Hades, and Lazarus is a beggar. He is fed from the crumbs from the rich man's table. The dogs lick his sores. This is a pitiful picture of his condition. And he goes to be in Abraham's bosom. The contrast couldn't be more clear in Jesus' words, for we read here in verse 23, and in hell he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. That verse shows the contrast, place of comfort and a place of torment. Just a profound contrast. But But tonight I do want to focus on the power of the Word of God, which this text teaches us in the words of Jesus, because the rich man is crying out. He's remembering that he has five brothers who do not believe. And it's such a picture that those in hell become evangelists. They want people to hear the truth. And Abraham communicates in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know, that what is this telling us? I mean, this is telling us the profound value and power, the value that God places upon His Word. That it has the power to change lives, from going to help people go from eternal torment to eternal comfort. And it's found where? Moses and the prophets. Wow. Verse 30, and he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." The rich man says a glorious resurrection will get their attention. Well, sure. But no. Abraham returns and says to him, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Do you see the value upon the Word of God, upon the Scriptures? And here we're talking about life and death, eternal torment or eternal comfort, and Lord Jesus is placing it all on the Scriptures. That's the power that changes lives. I find that very striking. Very striking indeed. Well, to close out our time together, I wanted to encourage us to go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. This is a psalm that you may be familiar with, but it has much to say about the Word of God, and I want us to walk away from tonight with these thoughts in our minds. In Psalm 19, and beginning in verse 7, we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." I trust that you are encouraged tonight of the value of the Word of God in your life. The value that the Word of God needs to play in your ministry and in my ministry. As I said, the temptation in my life is to be a clever preacher, to put together words that will get people's attention and illustrations that will grip their hearts. The same was true for last evening, and I get all worked up and uptight because I don't have things written down on paper, because I start and end up crossing it out. I get things written and begins to not make sense anymore. But I have found great comfort in knowing there's power in the Word of God. And what do I turn to? I can read Scripture. And you know, in my mind, as I even say that, it sounds pitiful. For I think that it makes it sound like Scripture is of lesser value. In my Bible reading with my wife, we've been reading through the Scriptures together, and we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you hear a lot about 1 Corinthians, that's why I'm reading through it right now. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in the beginning, it talks about how the Apostle Paul mentioned that the preaching is not in the cleverness of men. The power is in the gospel. And you may have noticed yesterday, last night, I ended up reading a lot of scriptures, didn't I? And I smile because I hide behind that. Because I'm recognizing, I'm going to believe that that has the power. People last night, they didn't walk away with some clever outline and some great illustration in their minds. But they walked away with the Word of God in their hearts. They hear it. They heard it. And I'm going to believe it's not going to return void, but that it will have an effect. As Isaiah 55, I read that last night, speaks. Because Isaiah 55 reminds me that His ways are higher than my ways, and His thoughts than my thoughts. And so the encouragement for us tonight is recognize the value that God's Word has in your life and trust and or entrust your ministry into the hands of God and His Word. And allow it to have an effect and a power. Use it to communicate God's message. We can't top that. We cannot top that. Amen? Lord, thank You for the time we've had tonight. And I've enjoyed the encouragement of just reminding my heart of the value of Your Word. I needed that encouragement. You know the battles that I have in my mind and the times we wrestle together about preaching and teaching and ministering. But I thank You for these encouraging truths tonight. I pray that Your people would be encouraged and strengthened for the week ahead from this truth. Your Word is powerful. In Jesus' name, amen.